The water was rough, the ride uncomfortable, particularly lying face down while wedged in the back of a truck. Shaw could hear Reggie moaning next to him, and he thought she might become sick again, as she had on the ferry crossing from Amsterdam. And then it was over. They drove for more hours, and then the truck stopped again. They were pulled from the back and made to march, still hooded and shackled, in single file. They were maneuvered roughly into seats in a confined space. Shaw actually hit his head on the top of whatever they were inside. When the engine engaged, the sound of the prop wash started, and the stomach lurch occurred when the vertical lift happened. He knew they were on a chopper. Shaw continued to count the seconds even as he tried to calibrate their speed. When they began the descent, at least 18,000 seconds or 5 hours had elapsed. If they'd been traveling in excess of 200 knots north or east, they would have covered over 1,000 kilometers. That put New Brunswick or even Nova Scotia in play, though much farther than 1,000 kilometers east, and they would have been in the Atlantic. But Shaw didn't think they had traveled directly east because of the ferry. While in the truck coming from Montreal and then Quebec, they had been on the southern tip of the strip of water that cut through that part of Canada and that employed ferry service to cross it. He knew that because he had been on one of those ferries. No one would bother to take a boat north, only to chopper back across that slice of water to head south or east. If New Brunswick or Nova Scotia were the destination, they would have gotten on the chopper on the southern side and not used the ferry at all. One would use the ferry if one were going due north, toward Hudson Bay or even the Arctic Circle, or to the east to Newfoundland and Labrador. When the chopper set down and they climbed out, Shaw knew they were not in the Arctic Circle. They hadn't flown long enough or stopped for refueling. He didn't know what sort of chopper they were on, but figured for most models, 5 hours of flight with that many people on board bumped right up against the limits of the fuel load. And it was too warm. If he had to guess, they were more east than north. When the chopper engine quieted down and he heard the ocean slamming against the shore, he concluded they were either on the coast of Newfoundland or Labrador, which still covered a lot of territory. And how knowing all this helped their current situation, he didn't quite have a handle on yet. The hoods and mouth tape were finally removed, and they all looked around, their eyes adjusting to the new light levels. They had left Montreal in the late afternoon, and now dusk was giving over to dark. An entire day had passed, and then some, Shaw calculated. His grumbling stomach confirmed this. They were driven in a truck on a route away from the ocean.
"Any idea where we are?" Reggie whispered to Shaw.
"Shut up," said the man riding next to the driver. 10 minutes later, lights came into view. The house was built from sturdy logs with a covered front porch and a cedar-shake roof. Trucks were parked out front. Several hundred meters away, Shaw saw another building that was dark. In the distance, he could see the shadows of mountains, the extreme northern extension of the Appalachians, he figured. He had been to this area a couple of times in the past as part of his work. It was foreboding, desolate, and there was no possibility of a handy policeman lurking on a street corner. The law was whatever someone with a gun, or at least the upper hand, said it was. The truck stopped. They were offloaded and marched into the house, still shackled and cuffed. The first man they saw was Pascal. His grin threatened to split his face in half. The second man was Alan Rice. The third face was why they were all here. Fader Kuchin walked into the room. He was dressed casually in jeans and a corduroy shirt with thick work boots on his feet. He was not smiling in triumph, nor did he look angry. His features were inscrutable. This made Shaw more uneasy than if the man had started attacking him. It showed self-control, careful preparations.
But for what? The next person he saw made him forget about Fader Kuchin. A battered-looking Katie James smiled weakly at him.